Okay. Anyone else like to pray?
I'll pray.
All right, Daddy.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your perfect love, your perfect grace, your perfect work through your Son, Jesus Christ, that has afforded us so many, 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 many wonderful blessings that it will take a whole eternity for us to experience, and that we just keep our eyes on you now. Thank you, God, for how we look to you for each and everything. We lift up to you friends and family now who need things, or people that we know of. We pray for them perfectly, thanking you for you already having the answer and the solution for whatever it might be. Thank you for the simplicity in Christ, that we don't complicate things with a lot of religious frou-frou, that we just are able to look to you to pray perfectly. When we don't know what to pray for, we know that the Spirit makes intercession according to what needs to happen. So thank you, God, for this incredible grace that you've given us to walk in and live in, and that we can continue to grow in grace and simplicity and humility and our trust and our love greater and greater for you, and our understanding, the eyes of our understanding being more and more enlightened every day, and that we can really, really stay connected to you in our hearts and souls and minds. And Father, thank you also for protection and the freedoms that we have, and for our country and for believers around the world, for protecting people who are in some pretty dire situations overseas and other places. Thank you, Father, for how you will take care of your own, and that we know that you do this. We know that you love us and care for us, and that we have eternal life and things are great now and for those days ahead and for eternity. So, Father, thank you for how you've just covered everything. Thank you for forgiveness and grace and mercy, that we did absolutely nothing to deserve anything that we have. And thank you, Father, for just giving us direction in specific things that you would have us to do, and that we're about your business, we're about your agenda, not ours, and that you help that to manifest in more of a reality for each and every one of us day by day through the humility and openness that we have to talk with you and walk with you and have sweet fellowship with you and with one another. So thanks, God, for today and the days ahead and our blessings and protection. In the name of Jesus Christ, all the health, the healing, the any physical needs, financial needs, just whatever it is, we just cast all of our care on you right now. And for multiplying our strength and our energy, if we're tired, we speak in tongues and it's rest to our soul. Thanks for these things, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ.
All right. Amen. Amen. Great. All right. Well, what's on your heart? Anybody have anything they'd like to start us out with? Great testimony, I'm sure, somewhere out there. Yeah, Nina.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Hey, Nina.
Well, yesterday, we've been getting stuff together for, I guess, our trip to Atlanta. Can't wait to see you guys. yesterday I saw some foxes. I think the storm brushed up a bunch of those little critters everywhere. So we're driving around. I'm like, oh my God. Look at these little foxes. There were like three of them.
Yeah, three babies.
Three little baby foxes. I'm like, Andrew, pull a car over. I'm giving you some fun. They look so cute. And I was like, oh my God. And God was like, no, Nina, they're going to do some damage. Because in the air, you could, whereas we were driving, you could smell this beautiful, amazing garden that had all these vegetables, all this fruit. I mean, then he was like midway through. He was probably going to be harvesting soon.
It was a greenhouse.
Yeah. And I mean, it smelled amazing. Smelled tomatoes and pepper, everything. And I'm like, oh my God, like, these little foxes. And God was like, stop it. They're not cute. They're going to really... I mean, okay. My grandma and Aunt Jeannie, they always used to read Song of Solomon. Mom, she liked it too. And it's a really romantic, sensual, almost kind of, you know, sexy book in the Bible. And I always thought when it would talk in, where is it at? Song of Solomon 2:15, take up the foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. When I was little, I always thought that was like wine and grapes and, you know, romance and stuff. And it's like, no, it's not. What it is mom gave me this book. Thank you, mommy. It's about, I'm sorry, I hope I'm not rambling. Like, this might be a long one. It's Old and New Testament Orientalism, Teachings of Bishop K.C. Fly. And it's online, too, but I'm a little obsessed. He goes into all the different Orientalisms. I'm linguistically challenged, bear with. He goes over all the different unique Eastern idioms in the Bible in this book, because it's an Eastern book. So he talks about the little foxes, and he says, take us the foxes, should we capture the foxes, prevent the foxes, especially the little ones, when they get in the vineyards, that they not only eat the grapes, but they also root out the vines. For our vines have tender grapes. And he says, take us, that means we need to keep them out or to catch us. The little foxes represent false believing, false prophets, negativity, and anything bad is going to mess with your belief. What else did he say? Says that the little foxes are far, is it worse or worse? They're horrible compared to the big ones because they can slip in the gate. You know, I mean, think of like, okay, you have a garden. And you want to keep critters out, you know, and you have a little gate just around it, you know, and the little foxes, they're worse because they can flip into itty bitty little tiny little spaces. But the big ones, they never can. They get stuck. I've seen it. It's kind of gnarly. They get stuck or they just, you know, forget this. I can't get through it. But the little ones, they get in. And they not only take off the grapes or your produce or whatever, but they'll rip out the vine. They'll completely just take it out. They'll destroy it. They'll take it out, like, the whole root. Because I guess in some cases, the grapes, the roots are sweeter than the grapes. I don't know. You know, it's interesting. But it's interesting how he breaks this down because he says, close the door of your mind, so that not even the first foot of a little fox can get in. Keep mind only to positive thoughts of success, blessedness, plenty, peace, victory, just wonderful things. Saying that the devil did it causes nothing but negatives. It will not make him run. You must make him run in the beginning by confessing only the word. Use the word to be steadfast. Do not at all accept negative. So it's interesting too, because I've seen foxes, you know, you see a lot of things in Kansas, you know.
Coyotes, foxes.
Yeah. I've seen foxes get in, like, because everybody wants a garden these days. Everybody has a little farm. You know, I want one, whatever. But I've seen farmers and even people shoot at foxes. No, it's horrible, but, and it is, you know, but they don't want them getting in there and, you know, messing up all that they've worked for, all that they put their time and energy into. And I mean, that's no different with us and the Word. I know I've, like, tried, like, not to ramble, but I'm, like, so excited about this because, I mean, I was so ready to stop that car over and get all these little baby foxes. But God was like, Regina, they're going to, you know exactly what they're going to go do. And it's so interesting how it's sort of, like, the thought, it'll come across as, like, oh, yeah, this is from God. It's got to be pure. It's got to be wonderful and sweet and cute like a little fox, but it's going to go in there and cause nothing but horrible things and damage and tear up the roots of your believing.
Like, if you present it with a... I'm going to pull you in closer. If you... We talked about it is if the devil presents you with something that you might do, like, you know, I might go steal something or...
Yeah, jump in a lake.
Yeah. You won't... If, He doesn't present you with the whole picture.
No.
He just gives you little, you know, he just inches you along.
Little bit at a time.
You know, and then I remember Dr. World said, the sin doesn't happen when it actually occurs. The sin happens when your heart
changes
to the point that you could do that.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just a little bit at a time. If he said, oh, you're going to go kill this person. No, he said, no, I never do that. So then just a little ideas.
Yeah, a little leaven is leaven the whole love. So I'm going to finish and say, he finishes, says, keep out the little ones, take us, keep them away. So you're shooting at it, you shoot at it with the Word, you ward it off with the Word. And he finishes off by saying, don't let the foxes in. If you leave a small opening for them, they will destroy the entire vineyard. Vineyard is a figure of speech, the human mind, the human head. Foxes come in, thoughts of fear, dread, gloom, they completely destroy the vineyard. They cause wrong attitudes, wrong thinking, they upset you, they make you mad, worried, make you depressed and distressed, not blessed. And destroy your confidence, your mentality, your perfect attitude. Mentality is to keep out the foxes. This is exactly what it means to have a renewed mind. And then he goes, you have to remain steadfast, keeping mind intact. Then the young at heart who are happy, peaceful, calm, you know, peace that passes understanding. So that's the result of keeping out the foxes. So, that's exactly. And I mean, I'm sorry. It's so amazing how God presented that because I was just raving about these foxes. And he was just like, I could hear his voice very clearly said, no, you know exactly what they're going to do. In fact, you probably should pray for that farmer because, you know, they're going to go in and just get it on, you know, get some damage in. And it's interesting how it's sort of like, you know, you have to even keep your thoughts totally on the Word. Because if it doesn't match it, if it don't fit, no, if it doesn't match, you have to throw it out. So, yeah, that's all I have to share. Thank you.
For the record, I was never going to let her bring home boxes.
I could sneak them in. I want a dog so bad. Love you guys.
All right, thanks, Nina. That was wonderful. Yeah, that's great.
You weren't rambling.
That was wonderful.
Really great.
Yeah, a lot of great things that Bishop Pillai explained about the culture of the Bible and the idioms and customs.
Yeah.
A lot of great things. I'm grateful that work's available. I think somewhere in the basement we still have like these reel-to-reel tapes of Bishop Pillai in some summer camp in Kansas that you had somewhere.
Somewhere. Yeah, I mean,
that was like in the early 70s.
Yeah. Well, so. I was just reminded of his voice and hearing him. One of the requirements that we had to take the advanced class before I ever took it when I was on the WOW field in 71, 72, something like that, was to take Orientalisms. And to hear his voice, I remember he sounded like this. I will do my best to sound like him. I feel like a bottle in the smoke. Which, you know, he explained that as one of the Orientalisms. He compared it to a Dixie cup on the side of the highway, just getting tossed to and fro and beat up, and a bottle in the smoke, which actually was a skin that they would put in the, they'd put it in the smokehouse, right? The skin of an animal that would be filled with something. I actually kind of forget now.
Yeah.
But something to that effect, and this shadowy, looming, strange figure, you know, in the smokehouse there is all like weird in the smokehouse.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was, oh, I used to love Casey Pillai's,
yeah, Bishop a lot of
Casey
great Pillai things.
Stuff. Yeah.
A lot of great things. But that's wonderful. That one, the fox.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great.
Especially since they're so cute.
Yeah, they're cute. All right. So, all right, wonderful. Great. Anything else? Who else got something?
I got something to pass along.
Well, I think...
Okay, go ahead, Charlie.
On the 19th of April, I got an...
Hold on. Okay, go ahead, Charlie.
All right, yeah, 19th April, I got my right knee replaced, and it went fine. It's very smooth. It's just apparently my experience with my first knee replacement was unusual in that there was no pain involved. This time around, it's a little annoyed. But it's not, I can't. No, it's not like that. And even on the day of surgery, we had a PT guy came 2 days after the surgery, and he noticed, I wasn't paying attention, that I already could bend my knees about 80 degrees, or bend the knee, I should say. And I've been up walking already, the PT guy. I've been out in the driveway walking up and down now 3 or 4 times, and it's actually going quite well. It's just a slight amount of discomfort this time around, but I shall be up and around in no time. Now, when Andrew and Nina come next month, I may not have achieved interstellar travel ability yet, but I guess we'll see that when it comes. And
all right, good. Well, and we'll continue to pray that it's quicker.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to share something, and it's probably for my own head now, because I can't, because of being irritated, I've had to control my emotion, my anger. Okay, well, I was thinking, and I need to apply it to myself right now because of everything. And I thought, I wrote this down because I always have to write it down because I don't remember. I put, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, knew what it was like for we striving to be our best in all situations. And that when hard times arrive, that's when we especially gird up the loins of our mind and put our full heart of believing behind God's promises. Some of those times get scary, at the same time exhilarating, because we set our face like a flint towards Him, and we don't take anything else in our but God, what God says in our heart. And then I thought about how the lion roars to freeze its prey in its tracks. And if the prey freezes and does not act, it will lose. So action destroys fear in your life. It's much more fun moving forward, destroying fear, than to stand still and shake in your boots. So That's what I was had been thinking lately. Thank you.
Cheryl, yeah, that's awesome. Thanks for sharing that.
Oh, and I really love Nina's sharing on the fox and that. Great. That was great. So thank you.
Cheryl. Thank you, Cheryl.
All right.
I'll share a little bit, Donnie.
Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
Well, you know, I just have to say, you know, this week was a great week. It's not just because, you know, 32 years ago I was born. And, you know, no, but, like, it was really a great week. I mean, last year was, you know, kind of, it was very, very tough. And, you know, kind of leading up to this week, I was a little hesitant. I didn't know how I was going to feel. I didn't know, you know, what was going to happen. But I made up my mind that God was going to bless me. I just made up my mind. I said, you know, Dad, if I go to work, if it's just a normal week, I'll be blessed with that. So, and not only that, I made a point of going and listening to the same thing that was playing when I got that call. And I just said, at the same time of day, I was like, okay, we're going to push this. I really just want you to bless me. So I did that, and I was really kind of, at that time, I was really kind of taken aback and thinking. I was like, you know, God, I'm really not in the same place. And this year you've caused so much growth in my life, and I thank you for that. And, you know, all this week has really been a great week. You know, I thank all you guys for texting me and calling me and, you know, making sure I was okay, but I really was. I was fantastic. I mean, on Monday, it was a good day at work. I laughed and got to talk to people. On Tuesday, I went out to a bar and played music and got to witness to somebody. That was awesome. And I talked to my friend Patty. On Wednesday, that was my actual birthday, I went to work, and it was just a great day. I was on this one motor that came in like a double DLA, and, you know, I nailed that thing. That thing was perfect when it went out. And then Donnie called me, and we had a good conversation. And, you know, a couple other friends called me, and it was just a great day. Then on Thursday, it was getting a little rough. I was kind of getting a little antsy a little bit. So I told my boss, hey, I'm leaving today. And she was like, what's going on? I said, I'm just a little frustrated. I need a day off. Or I need about a good 2 hours off. So I went to a parking lot, ate a burger, and I just spoke in tongues. And man, that just changed my whole day around. Then on Friday, it was a cool day. We went and came home from work and had our party and everything. And, you know, then we got to cast out a storm and see God work. And it was just awesome. You know, I remember sitting in here listening to the sirens. I say, okay, God, do I need to tell everybody to get downstairs? And he said, no. Nope. I said, okay, well, we'll continue partying then. Now, Saturday, it was cool. I took Nina to work. We had an open house. She got to see where I worked.
I got to see his desk. And, like, yo, he ain't got no excuse to have his room that dirty.
But, and it was really, it's a nice day yesterday, you know?
Yeah.
I got to show off, and I got to talk to, like, different people's families and tell them what we did and everything.
You got a cool job. You got a big boy job.
Big boy job.
Yeah.
But last Sunday, And last Sunday, I had to make a decision what I was going to look at. If I truly believe the word, if I truly believe that Jesus Christ put down and God put down everything under Jesus Christ's feet, at his name, that every knee shall bow, then that means he put down my feelings and my emotions. That means he put down every adversity to me. That means I lack absolutely nothing. So, I don't know. Just, I had to make a decision. And I'm glad I made the right one.
We changed our confession.
Yeah.
Yeah, we changed our confession. Sorry. Sorry.
You're okay. But no, I just really had to, you know, if I'm going to believe the word or not, you know, because if it's still the word of God, even if nobody believes it.
Yeah.
And I know my brother's going to get up. I know his life is hidden in Christ now. And, you know, I know that he did believe and he did stand.
Yeah.
He's going to get rewards in heaven.
Yeah.
That Jesus Christ took away the last enemy, which is death.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy comfort? Or victory. It's not comfort, victory. But no, this is how we really, that's our weapon. That's our defensive weapon, the word of God. You know? That's how the adversary flees. Yeah, and you know, if we truly believe that he is disarmed, if he is put down,
yeah.
And the way we put it down is the word, we have to disuse it.
Yeah. We have to see he's defeated.
You have to see he's defeated. So, I don't know. That's all I wanted to share. I sure love you guys, and I can't wait to come and see you and fellowship and kick you guys steaks. I haven't forgot about that. Yeah. So. Yeah, but I love you guys, and you know, you guys are wonderful. And thank you for you know, really being my friends and being my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I really appreciate you guys. Appreciate you guys.
Well, thank you all for texting me. God bless.
Well, we love you guys too, and it's wonderful what God does for each of us. I mean, he does great things for each of us. And that's why we come together. We come together to collectively, you know, all together, you know, be thankful in our hearts towards God for all the great things he is doing, you know, and being able to share that grace. That's what I believe is what they speak of in the book of Acts, you know, where they sharing, having favor with all men, you know, sharing the grace of God together with all of the believers. You know, we share in this grace. And when we express the great things that God's doing for each of us, you know, on a personal level, by his grace and because of his grace, you know, that, boy, we just all rejoice together, you know, and have great thankful hearts towards God, because he's working things in each of our lives, each of our lives, day by day. And that's what gives us great joy. That's what gives us great, you know, thanksgiving in our heart. What we feel in our heart is great gratitude towards our Heavenly Father, you know, for all the things he's doing. You know, the way he teaches each one of us, you know, he teaches us day by day. You know, how personal is God to, you know, even like Nina's testimony, you know, how wonderful God is to take the time to just say, hey, you know, yeah, they're cute, but here's what they're really like. Here's what they really do. And when you understand that, you can understand how, yeah, the adversary puts those things in front of you. You know, that they look pretty cool. They look pretty cute. They look like you want to just grab them and embrace them, but they're dangerous thoughts. They're thoughts and practices that are going to steal those things that you have worked so hard to build in your heart, you know, those things, that confidence in God that you've worked at. And we all have worked to build our faith in confidence in God. you know, and we can't allow the adversary to steal those things from us, you know. So, you know, all these things that God does for each of us is such a great joy, you know, and that's why when we come together, each one of us has an opportunity, you know, to participate in sharing that grace that God has been bestowing upon you, you know, for the family to hear and know. So great. It's wonderful life. You know, it really is. Sometimes it's not as wonderful because sometimes we're resorting back to our old man nature, but you know, those days are difficult, but the days like this where we have to come together and refocus and get our minds clear again, like, I think it was Ashish that always used to use the illustration, you know, I've got to take the time to clear off my windshield. I'm driving too long and there's too many bugs on there and I can't see anymore. So I have to take the time to clean the bugs off my windshield, you know, so that I can see again, so I can see clearly the road ahead and do it with God. So, great stuff. So who else has got something? Anybody else?
Yeah. Bible. I have, you know, I love to share the Bible. I'm extremely tired today. For some crazy reason, I got up way too early this morning and, you know, just went on a cleaning spree, which is always fun for me because I think, I speak in tongues, I'm praying for things. But anyway, what I was thinking about this morning was how simple it is to just love God, love our neighbor as ourselves. And I wanted to kind of look at a few things in the Bible, and you don't have to go there unless you want to. Deuteronomy chapter 6, I mean, the whole thing is about putting God first. And it says in verse 4, "Hear, O Israel," it's to Israel, but it still applies to us, "the Lord our God is one Lord." He's one, not three. He's one. God Almighty, creator of the heavens and the universes. And verse 5, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." And then it goes on to, you know, and I know I've shared this probably not that long ago, but I was really thinking about it this morning. And it goes on to talk about, you know, teaching the word of God to your children. And to teach in verse 7 is the Hebrew word to whet or sharpen like a knife. And it literally, you know, you sharpen the knife by repeated motion against the thing you're sharpening it against. What would you call that?
A sharpening stone.
A sharpening stone. And what it means to us in practicality is that we rub it in by repetition. You know, as it says here, you teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You know, it's a type of jewelry that had scriptures on it. You know, anything and everything you can do to put literally the written scriptures first and foremost into your thinking, because that gives us a sound mind. You know, and you're probably all familiar with this, and you go on to read about it, and it's incredible how, you know, like in verse 12. Okay, first of all, they went in the promised land, right? And they had wells that they didn't dig that provided water. They had vineyards that they didn't plant and olive trees that provided food and fruit of the vine for them. And you know, look what God has provided for you. And then it says in verse 12, but beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. And is that not still true for us today? Hasn't, you know, he brought us out of bondage. Hasn't he taken us out of Egypt, so to speak? But all we're supposed to do is just love God with all our heart, soul, and strength. And then if you fast forward, you know, to the life of Jesus Christ and what he, how he postured it, what he said, well, we'll read, I guess we'll read the one in Matthew, and we'll look at chapter 22 and one of my favorite verses of the many thousands in this big book is verse 29. It says, Jesus answered them, those that had been challenging him and trying to catch him. He said, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, the graphe, that written word of God. It was written for a reason. You know, we just don't float around walking by the Spirit. I mean, yes, we do, but yes, we do this too. We write the word of God on the table of our heart, you know, till it comes oozing out our every part of us. So he said, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. So we got to have both. We got to have the written word of God that has given us the basis for truth and faith and believing and all the things accomplished for us. And then, you know, also in real time, you know, the word of God comes to us. But it's not going to contradict the written scriptures. And that's kind of how you can discern truth from error out there. But anyway, he goes on. Different people are challenging him, Jesus Christ. And one of them, it says in verse 35, which was a lawyer, asked him, you know, what is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And then also in Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31, it adds the word strength, heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know, and where does this kind of love come from? Well, if you love first off in your thoughts, in your mind, because Jesus Christ knew that it begins in the mind. So in the mind, sifts down into your heart of hearts. It becomes a part of your soul and heals you. The more you write the word on the table of your heart, the more that your body will be physically healed. The younger you're going to look, girls, right? Yeah. So, and just cheerful, as all crazy as Nina is, she's just the most delightful. I love to hear you laugh more than about anything. Okay. So anyway, heart, soul, mind, and strength, that which issues forth out of your life, the actions that you do, what you do comes from loving God, comes from believing God. So anyway, he says the second is like unto it. And this is really the one I want to focus on, because we understand we're supposed to love God. We know that over the years, we've come to love him more and more and more and more and more. Not to mention what he accomplished through his son, Jesus Christ, for us, right? But then I wanted to focus on verse 40. It says on these, or verse 39 says, and the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. All right? So that is very important. And it says on these two, Jesus Christ, I mean, this was the verse that just like hit me this morning when I was cleaning and walking around and speaking in tongues. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. I mean, you could just sum it up right there. You know, so to love your neighbor as yourself, you got to first love moi. You got to love yourself. And I'm not talking about doing selfies. I'm not talking about, you know, egotism. I'm talking about really truly loving yourself by doing what the word says, by doing, honoring God, by taking care of yourself, honoring, you know, putting the word in your mind, all the things that you do to love yourself. And we all have different likes and dislikes. And that's cool. Like, when you guys get here, Andrew and Nina, you'll be pleased to see that, Justin has been planting a garden. And it should should have started to grow something by the time you get here in a couple of weeks, maybe. And, you know, his dad, Mr. Donnie, helped him build the frame for it. I don't know what they're called exactly.
Just a box.
Couple of boxes out there. And Justin wants to have this sustainable food for us in our family here, which I just thought was so cool. And he'll have to put up some little wire mesh fences to keep those foxes out, right? And he will, I'm certain, think about your sharing, Nina, when he's out there weeding his garden and taking care of it and doing stuff. And, you know, wow, I got to keep, you know, bad thoughts out of my head, just like I got to keep, you know, like self-doubt, fear, worry, all those things that eat away at our souls. Just like I got to keep the foxes out of my garden, just like I got to pull the weeds in my garden. Beautiful analogies there. So that's what I was thinking about, you know, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Everything that issues out from your life is demonstration of loving God and giving glory and honor to God. And then to love your neighbor as yourself. If you really love yourself, you know, no guilt, sin, fear, condemnation, those types of things are very destructive. That's given the adversary glory. Sounds oversimplified, but it is very true. We must believe what God says we are, who he says we are, and nothing else. No lies from the enemy. We must believe, and we must keep moving forward. Yesterday, you know, it's history. You know, I learned from it. We will learn from our mistakes if we have that humility and honesty before God. But we keep moving forward, looking to God and just each and every little thing. So, but you have to love yourself. No self-loathing. Don't have time for that. No self-condemnation. And that it's very subtle how it's easy to fall into that stuff. You know, when you fall short of your own goals, dreams, desires. You know, it is, you get mad at yourself. But, you know, we don't have time to get mad at ourselves. We don't have time for that negative stuff. Just like the negatives in the garden, or the negatives of the foxes in the garden, right? We don't have time. We just need to remember, you know, That's all that's expected out of us. Love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbors, ourself. Everything in the Old Testament hangs on that. Everything. And, you know, and of course, I shared this, I think, with Andrew the other night, too. One of my favorite verses, I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? You know, we just got to totally give it to God. I can do attitude. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do it. All right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's great. Yeah, it's a very simple, simple end that God desires, right? For us in this life, it's very simple. And God has done some wonderful things. You know, I mean, they're hard to express in just one word. You know, how do you just say, okay, God is, what is God? God is, well, he's wonderful. He's powerful. He's awesome. He's great. I mean, he's all these things, but then there's so much more that he is that you cannot describe. So, it's easy to put yourself in a place where you can love God before anything else, you know, and that really is the have no other gods before me. I mean, how do you really accomplish that? Well, you accomplish that by loving him. I mean, that's the only way to accomplish it in truth, in a real genuine way. That is what God is looking for. God looks upon the heart he always has. You know, so it's not just a show, an outward show of love and respect. It's an inward reality. It's an inward passion that you have toward your Heavenly Father. You know, that's what he's looking to accomplish. He accomplishes that And his actions in our lives accomplish that reality. That's the end by which he moves and is motivated in everything that he does. You know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, I mean, when we realize that, there's a draw there. That God draws us in by that simple act of love. It's not a very simple one. It's a very complex one, but meaningful more than anything else. So God is so great. You know, it's easy when we come to know a little bit about him, it's easy to love him. Not just because, wow, in the beginning, he opened his mouth and things became, right? I mean, he opened his mouth and there it was, light. He opened his mouth. He spoke. And there was this environment, you know, for his man and his woman. So, you know, it's more than just that. You know, you don't love someone just because they're incredibly powerful. You love someone because of what they are and how they are and who they are toward you and what they do for you. This is what motivates our love for God. And one of the great things that God did by way of his son, Jesus Christ, is giving to us freely, you know, without cost to us, the benefits of what his son did. And, you know, this is our identification with Jesus Christ. It's something that it's really been on my mind lately. You know, we were at that fellowship in Appling last weekend. And, you know, the reality of who we are in Christ really hit me. It's not about heaping upon ourselves all this work that we have to do. It's about enjoying the work that Jesus Christ did.
Yeah.
You know, without that, all we are is religion. Without, and that's why the church is so full of religious accomplishments.
Yeah.
Is because they have heaped upon themselves a work that is impossible for them to accomplish.
Hmm.
They cannot in any way, shape, or form do what Jesus Christ accomplished. We can do the works that Jesus Christ did. We can heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. And we do those things one person at a time. Jesus Christ didn't sweep his hand over the crowd and everybody was healed. Everybody was delivered. They brought those individuals to him, or they brought themselves to him, and he healed every one of them. You know, we approach life one day at a time. We approach life one thought at a time. We approach life as getting rid of one fox at a time. We approach life as delivering one individual at a time. There is no work greater than that. And yet people sincere, they're very sincere, and yet they heap upon themselves these lofty goals that are impossible for them to accomplish. They're impossible for God to accomplish outside of the reality of sending his son, Jesus Christ, back.
Yeah.
You and I have been called to participate in a family. And whether or not that redheaded stepchild over there wants to join in or not, it's not my job to get him over here and dye his frickin' hair the right color. Figuratively speaking. Right? It is not. It is my blessing and my privilege to enjoy those things that God has provided for me by way of his son, Jesus Christ. And as I do that, and I enjoy that, and I come together with you, we enjoy that together, because I will share that same blessing that I have received with you, and you will receive the blessings that you have received with me, and we will joy and rejoice together. You know, that's a simple thing to accomplish. And I refuse to heap on myself a work that I cannot accomplish. And I refuse to heap that upon you. It is not my responsibility as a minister of God to do anything but help you believe God more today than you did yesterday. And one of the great things that we all have to share in is this identity that we have in Christ. And I was thinking about that a lot, so much. More so, you know, the week before with our resurrection fellowship that we did together. And we really never had a chance to look into it. There, we just ran out of time because I was rambling about other stuff. Right, Nina? See, this is true. This is what we do when we open our mouths and speak for God. Sometimes we ramble because, you know, I mean, look at Isaiah for crying out loud. Read Jeremiah. Sometimes those dudes were like, I'm just rambling on for God. I just open my mouth and God gives me more and more. And it's all pertinent. You know, it's all the Spirit of God working. Not well. Well, we like to trust that it is. But the identity that we have in Christ is so real. But this is something that I was going to look at last week. Really didn't do. I mean, I touched on a couple things, but I didn't really do it. And then the week before, I touched on a few of these points, but I didn't really go into them. But I wanted to this morning because this is what the good news is all about, right? We hear people talk about the gospel all the time. The gospel. Hey, I just want to spread the gospel. I just want to spread the gospel. I just want to build the kingdom. All right. What the heck does that mean? It's a great buzz phrase. Sounds right. Sounds like you're really working hard for God. We're out there kingdom building. I've heard that phrase lately. Kingdom building. I don't know about all that stuff. Jesus Christ didn't send his disciples out and say, build the kingdom. No, he said, tell them the kingdom of God is at hand. Tell them it's right here. It's right in front of you. The gospel, the good news is not that you and I have been called to do this immense work of building the kingdom of God here upon earth. I'm sorry. That's a work that's a little bit over my pay grade. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting facetious. Maybe I'm getting a little bit, I don't know.
You're good.
Huh? I don't know. I'm just trying to share the things that are working in my heart and mind. Because the gospel is very simple. The gospel. Romans chapter 1. Paul says he was a servant of Jesus Christ. I am staked to my Lord. I am his servant now. I'm his bond slave. He gave me the opportunity to run free, but I said, no, I'm sticking it out with you. Called an apostle. Separated unto one thing and one thing only. The gospel of God. The gospel. This is the good news. That which God has proclaimed to each one of us in light of Messiah fulfilling all that God had designed him to fulfill. That's good news. That's really good news. And this gospel, it says in verse 2, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the scriptures, in the holy scriptures, they were all that this good news to come was promised. All the prophets spoke of it. A new day where God would do a new thing. God would do this new thing. Right? Where there would be, you know, just miraculous things happening everywhere. That he would write his word on the heart of every man, every woman, every child. He would do it. He would put it in there. But this was good news. All this stuff was pointing toward one thing. One thing. His son. It all concerned his son. It all concerned him. Jesus Christ, our Lord. You can take that out and we'll put it in somewhere else where it's supposed to be. At the end of verse 3. So all these things, this good news, this gospel of God is concerning his son, God's son, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. You know, he just didn't appear. God created him. He created that life in Mary. And declared, verse 4 says, declared, determined, marked out, it's another way to phrase it, to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. That's the way Old English reads. Sometimes it just kind of like, jinky, 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 you know, just kind of throws it in there. One huge point in two words, and you got to stop and think, what the heck? What were they thinking about? But there are other versions that show you, you know, how simple this really is. You know, that this is the gospel that God declared, and that is a conclusive determination. He is determined conclusively to be the Son of God by a demonstration of power when God raised him from the dead. When God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he conclusively determined him to be his son. And this is such great news. Great news. Because without this resurrection from the dead, no one would have known, according to the scriptures, that he was indeed the Messiah. That one that would accomplish all these things that the law pointed toward. You know, remission of sins, taking away all sin, making us justified. Justified, never sinned, but I've been sinning all year long. All year long, I've been doing it wrong. And then I come to the Day of Atonement and I say, okay, God, I'm putting it all my cards are on the table. Actually, all my sins are on the Lamb, and take them away for me. Let me start fresh. Let me start anew. And he would do that. But they had to repeat it, right? We went over this stuff. But now it's like, now it's done once and for all. This is such great news for us. It's so great because it's done. It's not something we got to do again. So when God marked him out to be the Son of God, and he identified us with his Son by when we believe, what does that mean for you and for me? Well, the obvious does not escape you guys. You're sharper than most tacks in the drawer. You know what it means. It means the obvious. Well, if he identified us with Christ and raised us up together with Christ, then he has indeed conclusively determined you and me to be sons of God. That's our identity with Christ. And God could do that because he identified us before this. He identified us with Adam. Even though we didn't sin after the similitude of Adam, right? It says in that elaborate discussion within the scripture. You know, that just, it's like, wait a minute. You know, and so many people wrestle over this throughout their lives when they come to a knowledge of God and they understand the difference between what sin is and what righteousness is. And gee whiz, you know, I mean, why does everybody have to die just because Adam screwed it up? I haven't done that bad. Why do I have that same sentence upon my life? Well, because God identified you with Adam. Because you were born a man of body and soul, just like he came out of the garden as. And he couldn't bear any more children. He and Mary could not replenish the earth with any more body, soul, and spirit people because They came out of the garden. Oops, missing one. One of the three parts. They came out as body and soul. And so they could only replenish with body and soul. And that body and soul baby, time, you know, generation after generation, was, they were identified with that same penalty. Well, when God said, hey, I'm raising my son from the dead, and if you believe that, then I'm raising you also. But there's more to it, really. There's so much more to that. And we'll look at Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. These are great things.
Yeah.
They really are. To me, they're just incredibly simple, but yet such great news, is it not?
Yeah.
You know, when you read, oh yeah, it's appointed to every man to die. But gee, what a great life. Thanks a lot. No, wait a minute. In the light of that bad news, I've got some good news for you. It says, yeah, you know, you can read the whole Bible. That's the problem. That's what I did last Sunday when I was asked to share. One of the things that struck me was, you know, what would you like to share? You know, thinking, well, you share whatever you want. Yeah, great, thanks. Okay. So what do you want to share? Well, just about everything I know. Just about everything is exciting to me that I know from the Bible. You know, but can't do that. You only got a few minutes. But there's some great things in here. It says, look, you know, the good news is what accomplishes this. In verse 2, it says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, right? Isn't that what we were talking about earlier? Being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. When you are absolutely fully convinced of those things that God brings to your understanding, there's just nothing like it. Nothing like it. It's so enriching. It's so fulfilling. And that's why you have such great love for your Heavenly Father. When He brings you to an understanding of the greatness of what He has done for you, by identifying you not with your old man nature, with your own flesh, but with that which was His Son. To the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. The mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. The mystery of God, the Father, is how it should read. The mystery pertaining to, you know, God's mystery. He's God the Father. And He has a Son, Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Right. Are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, you know, are they anywhere? Are they anywhere else? Are they an understanding, you know, how dark matter operates? Because that's what's going to make you feel full. Make you feel like you have just found all the riches there is. I figured out dark matter. Wow. Good for you. I finally figured out string theory. No, I didn't. And neither did you. Neither did any brainiac out there. But boy, when God opens the eyes of our understanding as to the greatness of the mystery and all He has invited us to participate in, the simplicity of the good news that the Messiah has come and accomplished it all for you. That you are no longer identified with Adam, but you are identified with that perfect Christ. That's when life becomes fully enriched. And you possess the riches of that confidence in your understanding. You know, not in your own brain and what you've determined to figure out, but in what God has opened your eyes, the eyes of your understanding to. And this I say, verse 4 says, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. You know, these things that sound so good, but draw you away from your relationship that you now have with God. Right? Enticing words. Then they could be religious words. They could be, you know, worldly words. Worldly philosophies or, you know, religious ones. Ones that sound so good. You know, you know, my whole motivation is to get as many people motivated to build this church or that church or contribute to this organization or that organization. It's not about that. You know? Enticing words are the words that bring us away from the simplicity of what we have in Christ. Access to our Heavenly Father. God, the Father. Our Father. He's accessible to us now. Not just as God, Jehovah Elohim, Creator, all-powerful, but as a tender Father, a loving Father, one who cares about our success, one who cares about our blessing, one who cares about everything good in our life. He wants to provide that. Says in verse 6, and therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted, built up in him, established in the faith. You know, look at these encouragements within the scripture, especially in the church epistles. You know, they are encouragements about the individual enjoying the blessings of grace, of the blessings of being indisputably determined as the sons of God. These are great blessings. This is great news for you and for me. And the encouragement is always, just enjoy this. I want you to be rooted and grounded in these things. Established in the faith. Just established in them. You know? No little foxes coming in and tearing up your roots. No, I want you to be established in. And abounding therein with thanksgiving, not with the burden of earthly works, but abounding with thanksgiving. God, thank you for making it so simple for me to enjoy my life. Thank you for making it so simple for me to enjoy the people around me. Thank you for making it so simple for me to receive my deliverance when I need it. God, thank you for the good news. Thank you that this burden, whatever burden it might be that you've placed upon me, is easy. Nothing easy about what the church wants you to do sometimes. You know, we're going to eliminate homelessness. That's our church's goal. Well, good luck with that. Very noble. Good. I'm happy someone wants to do it. But that, unfortunately, is not part of the good news. But one person at a time we can bless. And maybe, and perhaps, yes, take from homeless to their home in the heavenlies. And have them really know it. So he says, beware, you know, beware lest any man spoil you, you know, pick you up and take you away like they've just conquered you as spoil through philosophy, vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. You know, I mean, okay, there's a difference between following Christ and following in his footsteps. Doing the things that God inspires us to do and works in our heart to do as his sons and daughters. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead, in Christ. All the fullness, anything that's worth being filled with is provided for by Christ. You know? And you are complete in him. There's no lack, nothing missing. You are complete. You know, how is that possible? When I feel so lacking sometimes in my flesh, I feel so inept. I feel so unable. And yet in Christ, I have everything I need. You know, this is two different realities. Two different realities, and you and I have a choice. God has provided for us a choice. Okay, you can either walk in the reality of that which you don't see, or you can walk in the reality of what you see in the mirror every day, which needs to be shaved, plucked, you know, trimmed. Well, we have these two realities to face day by day. One we need to reckon dead. One we need to reckon alive. We're complete in him who's the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised. Here begins our identification with Christ. Not too much talk about the circumcision, in most congregations, unless they want to, do the real one. But that's where it began. Our identification with Christ begins with his circumcision. Wow, I never heard that one. But it does. Because we are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Right? The one made without hands. Just so, because that's the beginning of our identification. When we're identified with everything that Christ did. In accordance with the law. Everything. Everything. Circumcision made without hands. In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. When Christ was circumcised, it represented him putting off the flesh to accomplish what God had called him to accomplish. Just like Abraham. You know, it was more than just a sign of a covenant, the mark of a covenant. It represented Abraham saying, my flesh is not going to accomplish this, so I'm putting it off. I'm putting it off. What will accomplish this is something that is so far greater than my flesh. God. God's going to accomplish what God told Abraham he would be and become. The father of many nations. So we have put that off. Christ put it off when he followed the law. Right? He said, okay. When his parents, took him to be circumcised on the eighth day, just like every other, Jewish firstborn son or male child, not firstborn, but male child. It represented that putting off of the flesh and total reliance upon God. Buried with him in baptism. We were buried with him in baptism, in a complete immersion into him. This is not water baptism. This is a complete immersion by faith into him.
What verse right? Are you in?
What verse? I'm in 12. Colossians 2:12. Wherein also you are what? Risen with him. Risen with him. You know, what was the baptism of John all about? This is what the churches do all the time. They want to water baptize. Use the baptism of John. What was it all about? Is ceremonially a cleansing ceremonially to prepare them to receive the Christ. Because the Christ would be in their midst. And in order to come to him, they had to be clean. This is all it represented. Well, this is not what it, you know, this must be a different baptism then, yes? Yes. And it is. It's that baptism by faith, by faith. It's when we have faith that God raised him from the dead. We are immersed in this. We are completely identified with Christ in everything that he did, everything that he accomplished. We're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. That's the faith of the operation of God. What is the operation of God? It's him raising his son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. He raised him from the dead. Who hath raised him from the dead? What? This is exactly what it says. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. He's made us alive with him. This is our identification, right? When he raised Jesus Christ from the dead, when he used that power that only God possesses to raise his son Jesus Christ from the dead, he conclusively determined him to be the Son of God. When we believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, we are identified completely, fully, 100%, 1,000% with everything that Christ accomplished and everything that God did for him and everything that he is now. And when he raised Christ from the dead, he raised us up also, and he has with him conclusively determined us to be the sons of God. This is such great news. This is the work that I want to accomplish in my life. I want to accomplish believing that. And that's what God desires for each of us too. It says he has quickened us, made us alive together with him, having forgiven. He's forgiven you all trespasses. He's forgiven everything. Everything. All. Isn't that wonderful news? Isn't that such great news? I can live free. I can live free now of any of that. Is it with me? Yeah, it's with my old man nature. You know, until Christ returns and gives us this new life, this new body that will be eternal, we have to constantly deal with this old man, this old nature, that which was identified with Adam. And yet, in God's eyes, it was circumcised, representing a fulfillment of all the law and a putting off in your mind and heart, a putting off of what your flesh could accomplish for you. And you have been crucified with Christ. You've been buried with Christ. And you and I have been raised with Christ. Raised. Raised. And God would not have raised you unless he had forgiven you. He didn't raise you and then said, well, am I going to forgive you or not? I don't know. No, wait a minute. He was raised, it says, right, in Romans? When we were justified. He had paid it all. He paid the price. We were identified in all of that. In God's mind and heart, when he was beaten, when the adversary took his rage and hatred out upon Christ, we took the beating too. And anything and everything that we did to deserve it had been paid for. He raised us. We're forgiven. We're forgiven. That's why we can sit in his presence. That's why. And you know, God's desire is that we enjoy this now. Yes, we, in the ages to come, it says he's going to show his kindness toward us. In the ages to come, not just this one, this age, but in the ages to come, he will exhibit his kindness. He will show his kindness toward each and every one of us throughout all eternity. He's going to just exist to bless you. That's the heart of God. We can't conceive of that. We look at that and say, well, that's certainly, you know, for me to believe that must be narcissistic. For sure. I mean, I am the end all of everything, aren't I? I mean, I am the purpose of the ages. Me. And yet that is what God's heart is. We are in his sight what he dreamed of. In his heart, it was all that he could do to accomplish this. All that he could do to wait for everything to be fulfilled, to accomplish this great work. To make you and I indisputably his sons and daughters so that he could bless our lives. It's so huge, so big. And you being dead in your sins, right? We were dead, but now we're alive, forgiven. He has taken what it says, right? In verse 14, blotted out the handwriting of ordinances against us. He has blotted it out. He's taken the redactor and redacted it all. The great, you know, Sharpie, the permanent marker, and said, okay, where's that list now? We may have that list of all those things that you've done that are contrary to everything that I am, everything that I desire. God says, I'm keeping a tab on you. And he did all those things. And he said, give me that marker. Give me the big one. You know, the big one. Not the little Sharpie pinpoint marker, but give me the big one. And I'm going to mark them all off. You know, blot them all out. They're, you can't read them anymore. They're ineligible. They're illegible. Right? So, Nina, don't worry about it. He's blotted them out. All those things that were contrary to us. Right? They were working against us in every way. I mean, we work so hard and then we do something so stupid. Oops, sorry. Disqualified. But I was almost in. I was right there at the door. I was being so good. And then, sorry. Thanks for playing. It says he took it out of the way. Sound familiar with what we looked at a couple weeks ago? The scapegoat. All right. Put on him all the sins of Israel and took him away. That's what he did for us. This is such great news. That is great news. Just enjoy this great news. Right? This is God's desire. Isn't this great news? Yeah, it is. It really is. He took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Right? Publicly, a public show of this is all done. Right? And we've remember the Orientalism here, you know, where it was, you know, like Israel received double for all her sins, right? Yeah, gee, thanks. Great news. You get twice the penalty. No, that's not what it's talking about. That Orientalism where it says like this, you know, you take the handwriting and they would put it up at the gate where the elders presided the gate to the city. As everybody came in, they could see, oh, you know, Johnny Jump Up, he owes this, he owes that. He has this indebtedness. He has that indebtedness. Boy, that poor slob. He'll never get it together. And everybody sees this every time they come in, even strangers who don't know him. And they walk into town and they see, holy smokes, this guy's a mess. That guy's a mess. That girl's a mess. Boy, they have all these things against them, working against them. Make sure you don't do business with them in the city. Hey, you're not Johnny Jump Up, are you? Because I don't want to have anything to do with you. No, see, took those things. And he went to the elders of the gate and he said, let me have that paper. And he folded it over so those details could not be seen anymore. And he wrote on them, paid. It's paid. I've paid it. And he said, now you stick that back up there. The name is visible of Johnny, but everything he owed, everything that was contrary to his life in town was now taken care of. That benefactor came and took care of it, paid off all his debts. This is what it means. This is what we have. Not to burden us more, but to take the burden off of us. He did it. And, you know, that's why it says, don't let anybody judge you anymore in what you're doing, what you're eating, whether you've been to church today, whether you've never been, whether you've been to synagogue. You know, whether you celebrated the Day of Trumpets or not, the new moon, the Sabbath, all this stuff, it's not important anymore. What's important is that you enjoy the benefits of being a son of God, raised with Jesus Christ, your Lord, seated on the right hand of God with him, having access to the Father, having a relationship with the creator of all of life. Having a relationship with him, having the freedom to speak frankly with him, openly, and say, Father, this is what I'm going through. This is what I need you to do for me. And for him sitting there and paying attention to you. Not ignoring you, not going, yeah. Play me. You know what this is? Oh, no, it's like this. What is it? You know what this is? It's the world's smallest violin. Oh, is that what it is? Yeah, cry me a river. No, he doesn't do that to you. He doesn't do that to me. He says, what is it? I'm there. I got you. I understand fully and completely. Let me take care of it for you. This is the benefit that we have, and this is the benefit God desires for us to enjoy. And then as we begin to develop this relationship, and nurture this relationship that we have with God, because we have been fully and completely identified with his son, Jesus Christ, by faith. By faith, we are made the righteousness of God in him, by his faith, by what he did. And when we believe in what he did, we have all these great benefits. And he just desires for us to enjoy that. And when we enjoy that, our new nature begins to take over. Right? The new nature begins to take the preeminence in our lives, in our heart, in our mind. And it becomes easier and easier to put the old man back down into the grave where he belongs. And live new. Now, not all the time is it easy. God didn't say this is going to be really easy. That's why he said, no, just hang in there until I send my son back. Then, you know, eternity is going to be easy. This life is not easy sometimes. You know, we're challenged with challenges, you know, with slipping on the floor and breaking an ankle. You know, that's not an easy thing to deal with. And then getting the mind again, right? Mind back to, well, you know, in Christ, I've been healed. By his stripes, I was healed. You know, I don't have to accept this anymore. I can live new, my new nature. I can be healed. I can be delivered. I can walk in newness of life. It's what God desires for us. You know, yes, I know there are some that are called, you know, like Paul was, to take on all the care of the church, right? I mean, that's what he expressed at one point, you know, where God said, yeah, tell him. Tell him that. You know, he felt like he had all of the burden of making sure that the doctrine remained pure. It was all on him. And for a while it was. But God inspired him to write it all down. Besides all these things, the care of the church, I just care for you. I have an overwhelming burden on my heart to make sure that I can present you perfect in Christ. You know, I mean, that was a revelation given to Paul. And that's certain individuals within the body of Christ. Yes, I believe that they're called to do those things, but that calling is not the calling of every believer. You know, what God has invited all of us to participate in is this newness of life and an enjoyment of it so that our joy can be full. Full. Just to simply enjoy life and enjoy your fellowship with your Father. Having him direct your steps day by day. Go here, go there. Let me teach you this. Let me teach you that. Like a father with a child. Right? You know, you take a walk with your kids when they're little. What do you do with them? Oh, look at that over there. You know what that is? That's a cow. It goes moo. Right? What does a cow do? It goes moo. Oh, it's got to do more than that, Daddy. Yes, it does. It provides milk and beef. But we teach, you know, we teach our kids. This is what God does for us, for each of us. You know what that is? Huh? That's a crazy person. No. That's a wonderful person that has a crazy spirit. Oh, okay. Thank you. Thanks for the clarification. And if the door opens, I'll help you deliver them. Oh, okay. This is God's desire for us. For us to be able to walk with him and to enjoy his wisdom, his strength, his ability to see what's really there. And he has placed that ability within each one of us. And we can live life to the fullest. You know, the mistake that people make is giving in to the adversary's tricks to get them to think that the hardships that they face are because God doesn't care about them or God wants them to learn something because of it. All of these tricks that the adversary plays on believers. To give in to that is to just, lay your own sword down and surrender. Well, God never wants us to do that. He wants us to walk with him so that we can fight it off. We can wield our sword, the sword of the Spirit. And defeat the things that the enemy throws at us. And in doing that kind of thing together, we have great victory. And we draw others to us, just like Jesus Christ drew men and women to him because of his walk with his Father. And that's what we can do too. And whether we ever draw anybody or not doesn't really matter. We still enjoy our relationship with God. Anyway, at the right time, at the right place, God brings that one who is going to be responsive to you, responsive to the words and encouragement that you have, and bring them to life also. So never identify yourself with Adam again. Never allow yourself to take the beating anymore. Right? The only reason Christ took his beating is because He laid his life down. He allowed them to do it. We don't have to. So let's live life. Let's be victorious together and identify ourselves with our Christ. Raised, seated, blessed. Okay, Father, thanks for your love and grace. Thank you for continuing to work mightily in each of our lives. Thanks, Father, for your great tenderness, your forgiveness, and your reckoning of our lives as who you've made us in Christ and not the things that we do in our flesh. Thank you, Father, that we, in our hearts and minds, can indeed put off that old nature, that man of sin in the flesh, and continue to enjoy this life that you have given to us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Thanks, Father, for this, and thank you that we can encourage one another just to look to you to do those things that are impossible for each of us. Thank you, Father, for I just don't know how you do it, but you do. You hear every one of us, even if we're speaking at the same time. You hear us all. And you are at work to provide those things. Give us those things that we seek you to provide. Thank you, Father, for the way you do that. Thank you that it's all by your grace, all by your mercy, and that we can enjoy this together. Thank you, Father, for what great joy it brings in our hearts to know that these things are ours because you just wanted to freely give them to us, because we just believed that you raised your Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. Father, thank you for the benefits. Thank you for continuing to open these things to us and provide for us all those things. In the name of Jesus Christ. Can someone prophesy or speak in tongues and interpret?
My beloved children, know that everything is already complete. It was completed in Christ. There is nothing more that you need to do. Nothing else that you need to build, nothing you need to restore, for Christ has done it all. All I desire is a relationship with you. That is your ministry, to come before me, putting your heart in my hand, letting me take care of you, coming before me, because I have done everything for you. So rest, be at peace, and enjoy all the benefits that I have done through my Son, Jesus Christ, for you, my sons and daughters. It is a complete work. Nothing, absolutely nothing else need to be done.
Amen, then.
I was about to go.
Well, then you better go, then.
I was about to go like that.
Hey. Look, I mean, what are you going to say? Hey, Lord, wait a second. I heard the Trump, but wait a minute.
No,
go ahead.
He's messing with you.
I am messing with you. We can do this because we're not a religious bunch.
We're not.
I want those words. Go ahead, brother.
My dear children, look to me always. Know that I've already blessed you with everything that you need. Know that I love you beyond anything. Know that I have lifted you up and you have become heaven's holiest. You are my children. You sit at my right hand. And you can demand and talk and request anything of me, and I will do it. So let your heart be light, my children. Your yoke is easy and your burden is light because you are yoked with me. I take the burden for you. I have lifted you up again. And I love you beyond anything.
Today I have given you truth to stand before me with no sin or thoughtlessness of yourself. For I have given you my Son, and his glorification glorifies you as you continue to walk in the face of light that I have given you, the path of hope and the path of action to receive what I have already given.
All right, Father, thank you for that great hope that you've given to us. Thank you that we can continue to keep our eyes upon it and your great love for us. And thank you, Father, for that perfect work that's been accomplished for us. Thank you, God, that we can simply enjoy. And we're grateful for all these things, grateful for, again, this time together and for the encouragement and the great things that you've brought to our understanding so that our joy is full. We're thankful, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.